This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. A couple of weeks ago, my wife Amanda and I, we spent a few days in Las Vegas. We had a wedding out there, and we had a couple days that we could just hang out and, you know, spend some time together. And so we decided to go see a show that a bunch of our friends had told us about, and the show was called Ka. It's put on by Cirque du Soleil. And so, of course, you know, you hear that, and you're expecting it to be pretty good. But to be perfectly honest with you, it wasn't good. No, in fact, it was more than good. Let me tell you something. It was spectacular. Amazing. I mean, it was, honest to God, I can say this, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it's worth a trip to Las Vegas just to go see Ka. How many of you have seen it before? Well, you need to. You need to. Go to Vegas. Leave tomorrow. But be back for church next weekend. But anyway, it was great. It literally exceeded every expectation that we had. And that's always nice when that happens, isn't it? To have your expectations exceeded. I mean, it feels great when that happens. But unfortunately, I think part of the reason it feels so great is because it happens so rarely, doesn't it? I mean, it's true. I mean, for many of us, I think our typical experience and our experiences of life are just the opposite of having our expectations exceeded. It's like not only are they not exceeded, but oftentimes they're not even met. You know, whether it's a restaurant, movie, concert, hotel, I mean, having our expectations exceeded is a rarity. But how about when it comes to the topic that we've been talking about these last couple of weeks? Our relationships. We're in a series called Inked. We're talking about relationships. I mean, have you ever thought about the types of expectations we have towards the people that we're in relationship with in our lives? Because of course we do, don't we? I mean, we all have expectations for those that we're in relationship with, don't we? We all have them. We have these I guess you could say preconceived ideas of what that relationship should look like or what that experience should be like. I mean, let's say for example, let's say you're a business owner. How many business owners do we have here in the house? I know you're lying because I see some of you. That's cool. Don't be ashamed. You should be proud. Anyway, but think about it. I mean, maybe as a business owner, let's say that you are getting ready to hire some new employees. And of course, whenever you do hire a new employee, you have what? You have expectations. And hopefully your expectation is that new employee is going to just rock and roll, right? That they're going to be a great fit. I mean, if you don't have that expectation, then you are stupid for hiring them to begin with. But see, we all have expectations. I mean, think about how this oftentimes plays out in our marriages. I mean, we expect that our spouses or our future spouses will clearly understand that the toilet paper always goes on this way, not that way. Right? We have expectations. We have them for our children, our friends, the people we work with, the people we work for. And for the most part, that's a very good thing. Because even the Bible has a lot to say about expectations. That's right. It talks over and over about God's expectations for us. And it talks about our expectations of God, what we are expecting to receive from God in our lives. It even talks about what our expectations should be of ourselves and of others, those that we are in relationships with, which is a good thing because if you think about it, our relationships are going to have a really difficult time going where God wants to take them. They're going to have a very challenging time going beneath the surface without expectations. So expectations are powerful. So powerful, in fact, that they can also destroy our relationships. That's right, they can destroy our relationships. Because see, what happens is over time, when our expectations continually go unmet, when those dreams and those hopes and those visions that we have for that marriage or maybe that friendship or whatever type of relationship it might be, when those expectations continually go unmet, little by little what happens are those feelings of anger, resentment, disappointment begin settling in, and over time they begin to corrode that relationship. Which is why one of the top causes of breakups in relationships have to do with unmet or unfulfilled expectations. And so expectations are just so powerful, both in good and potentially in a few not so good ways. And so the bottom line is we need to learn how to handle our expectations, don't we? We got to figure out how do we properly expect things and what should we expect? Well, thankfully, there's some help here. And the hope and the help that we have is it comes to us from a very loving, good, merciful God who has given us a tremendous example of how he handles his expectations of us so that we can learn how to handle our expectations of others. And so let's talk about that. Because, I mean, the bottom line is there is a lot we can learn from God when it comes to this topic of expectations. For example, you know, when you make a decision in your life to follow Jesus, it's like the more that you realize as you follow him, the more you realize that following Jesus is, even though it's not always easy, it certainly is not impossible to follow Jesus. Wouldn't that be a mean trick, right? For Jesus to tell us to follow him, but we really are not capable of it. Yeah, that'd be horrible. That would be really mean. No, it's not impossible because, see, he gives us his grace and he gives us his power to do it. And so his expectations for us are very realistic. And not only are they realistic, but God has done so much to clearly communicate to us what those expectations are through the scriptures. We read, what are those expectations? And then if that's not enough, God even goes way out of his way to empower us and to encourage us in our lives and in this journey of following him. So there's a lot we can learn from God in terms of how he handles his expectations for us so that we can do a better job of handling our expectations for others. And I'll tell you, this is a huge topic. I mean, it is a huge topic because there's so much at stake. I mean, on one hand, it's like these expectations have the potential to take our relationships to depths never experienced before. I mean, they give each and every one of us an opportunity to leave a lasting mark on the life of the person that we're in a relationship with. And yet, on the other hand, if we don't handle expectations the right way, then over time, we begin to open the door for a tremendous amount of stress and anger and resentment that will eventually bring a world of pain to our relationships. And so as we look to God to learn some things about expectations, I want to spend some time posing four questions to you tonight. In fact, if you have your service guide, take that out. I want you to write some things down. And I want to throw out some questions that we can chew on, that we can wrestle with a little bit as we work through these expectations in our lives. So let's dive into these questions. The first question that I want to throw out to you has to do with what I think seems to be the core of most of the expectation problems that we see in our relationships, and that has to do with how realistic those expectations are to begin with, right? I mean, so here's the first question, okay? When it comes to the expectations that we have for the people we're in relationship with, we really have to take a step back, and we have to ask ourselves, are they realistic? Say that with me, ready? Are they realistic? Now, turn to the person next to you and say, are they realistic? Go ahead, do it right now. I know, it's uncomfortable. That's good, though. Are my expectations realistic? And that is such a great question for us to ask. Great question for us to consider. Are my expectations towards my wife, towards my kids, towards my employees, towards my coworkers, my friends, whatever, are my expectations realistic? And see, I think probably part of processing that question is just being willing to take a step back and think a little bit about where those expectations came from to begin with. Right? I mean, where did they, because let's face it, I mean, we all have a tendency to filter what it is that we expect from others through the lenses of our life experiences, right? I mean, of course, they're extremely diverse. I mean, what I expect from someone is going to be different from what you expect from someone. For example, I can put this image up on the screens right now, and I can say, okay, what is this? And some of you would look at that, and you would say, okay, I know what it is. Scott, I see a fox. I see a fox. And there's others of you, you might say, you know what, no, that's not a fox. I'll tell you what it is, that's an angel. And by the way, if that's the kind of angel that you see, you need to tell someone right away. Or some of you say, no, Scott, that's not a fox. That's certainly not an angel. You know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. That right there is a very angry elephant. Especially considering the events of this last week. Very angry elephant. See, I mean, there's going to be a lot of different answers because we all have different perspectives. It's kind of like if I say the word Starbucks. Starbucks, or like I like to call it St. Arbucks. Starbucks. Some of you, when you hear Starbucks, you say, you immediately, waste of money. Waste of money. Others of us, when we hear the word Starbucks, we say something like, nectar of the gods. And we salivate on ourselves. See, we all have different perspectives. We all have different filters that cause us to have different expectations. And sometimes those filters create an image in our minds that may or may not be realistic. I mean, for many of us, I think those expectations, let's say, for example, with our spouses, have a ton to do with the type of environment we were raised in. I mean, for example, if you grew up in a home where your parents sort of, you know, let you in on their disagreements and their struggles and their joys and all of that, then you probably have a fairly realistic picture of married life. But sometimes parents, with good intentions, decide to deal with all that tough stuff behind closed doors. Or worse yet, they don't deal with it all and they just push it down inside of themselves. And so what happens is the kids sort of develop this sense that marriage is relatively easy. Which, of course, is a load of phooey. I cannot believe I just said phooey. Phooey is a horrible word. What's happening to me? Anyway, I mean, look, listen, the expectation of your relationships always being at peace, for example, in your marriage, the expectation you will always be at peace is not practical or realistic. Now, let me tell you, listen, no couple will ever have a conflict-free marriage. I know what you're shocked right now. You mean you as a pastor? Scott, you have conflict? Yes, and I put my pants on the same way you do as well. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, listen, I think I do. We're not going to talk about that, though. Listen, conflict. Hold on. Okay, conflict is inevitable. And sometimes, you know what, conflict is even healthy for our relationships. Do you know that? I think an author by the name of Joshua Liebman said it well. Listen to this. This is a powerful quote. "And they lived happily ever after" is one of the most tragic sentences in literature. It's tragic because it's a falsehood. All of you who are laughing are divorced. Listen. or on the verge or something. Anyway, it's good you're here tonight. It's tragic because it's a falsehood. It is a myth that has led generations to expect something from marriage that is not possible. Okay, so whatever your expectations are of your husband, your wife, your coworkers, your employees, whoever it is, you have to ask yourself, where did those expectations come from? And see, this is a huge question because whether those expectations were shaped from past experiences in your family or something you saw on television growing up or maybe even your own imagination, sometimes they just might not be realistic. I mean, look, if you expect your chronically late girlfriend to all of a sudden be punctual at every event, guess what? 99.99999% chance that you are going to be let down. And it's not a question of what should she do. Yeah, but this is what she should do. Shush, listen, it's not an issue of what she should do. It's who she is. It's who she is. And if you married that person, then you have to remember, it's for better or worse. And you really shouldn't be surprised every time it happens. It's like we get amnesia. We get married and we get amnesia. Like we forgot that they were like that for the last 3 years that we were dating. Or let's say wives. When you're dating your husband, told you that he values family more than money, which you probably applauded at that moment. Well, you shouldn't now expect him to want to become a multimillionaire. It's just not going to happen. Look, see, some of the things that we expect from each other are ridiculous. And on top of that, completely unfair. It's like expecting a tone-deaf child to one day become a professional musician. I mean, no matter how much you like music, no matter how much he likes music, it's just probably not going to happen. Those of you with employees, let's talk about those kind of relationships. It happens all the time. I mean, we've all seen the scenario. Someone hires a C player and expects them to perform like an A player. Look, if you wanted to hire an A player, you should have hired an A player. Or at least be willing to temper your expectations and understand that it's going to take some time for someone to go from being a C player to being a B player. And then maybe, if they're even capable, maybe one day they might move closer to being an A player. The fact is, by the way, you need B players too. Because if all you have are A players, they'll kill each other. It's true. Okay. Let me show you this quote. Maurice Sider said, "Too many people miss the silver lining because they're expecting gold." Someone needs to write that down. Too many people miss the silver lining because they're expecting gold. Listen, there's nothing wrong with high expectations as long as they are realistic. And while we're on the subject, let me just say this. Listen, this is huge. The most unrealistic, and I would even say dangerous expectations are the expectations that we place on others to fill certain needs in our lives that they're not even capable of meeting to begin with. I mean, listen. There are just some things in life that no person will ever be able to provide you with. Ever. I mean, there are needs in your life that can only be filled as you discover and journey through your own personal healing. And there's things in your life, there are needs in your life that can only be filled through an intimate relationship with God. And so one of the most damaging things we can do is to place pressure and expectations on other people to try and meet needs in our lives that not only are they not responsible for to begin with, but that they're incapable of meeting anyway. That's dangerous for our relationships. Yeah, but Scott, if I could just get my husband to blank, then I'd finally feel fulfilled. I doubt it. Look, if you think that it's your husband's job to fulfill every single need in your life, or if you think that it's your... Wow. That was not my wife, was it? Whew. Oh, no, she's back there. She's all like, mm-hmm. Calm down, honey. Calm down. Keep the Pentecostal inside of you. Okay. But listen, if you think that it's your husband's job, if you think it's your wife's job to fill every need in your life, let me tell you something. You have missed the entire point of marriage. More on that later. Plus, it's getting a little bit uncomfortable in here right now. So, listen. An honest appraisal of each other's strengths and weaknesses, taking time and looking at each other's strengths and weaknesses, and an honest look at the nature of our relationship, man, I'm telling you, it frees us from the crippling effect of unrealized or unmet expectations. So ask yourself, am I expecting the other person to be something that they're just not capable of being? Or am I expecting someone to be something that they've already communicated to me that they're not willing to be? If so, okay, if those expectations are not realistic, then you simply need to adjust and change those expectations. And if they are realistic, well, then you have to make sure that that you are doing what I think God has done for us so well, and that is you got to make sure that you have clearly communicated those expectations. Because you can have expectations, but if you haven't taken the time to communicate them, they're not going to happen. So the second question is this: have I clearly communicated them? Ask that with me. Ready? Have I clearly communicated them? Have I clearly communicated what my expectations are? Big, big question. Because for whatever reason, we tend to do a lot of assuming in our lives, don't we? We tend to make a lot of assumptions that people should somehow automatically know what my expectations are. And of course, not only is that unfair to the other person, but it's also setting you and them up for lots of frustration. I mean, for example, ladies, if one of your expectations is, look, I need my husband to show affection to me. Well, then you better make sure that you've communicated what that means. Especially this topic, because affection usually means something totally different to a man than it does a woman. When a woman says affection, you know what she means? She means, hold me. Cuddle with me. Whereas when a man hears the word affection, he thinks one thing and one thing only. Oh, yeah. Yes, in church. So you have to clearly communicate your expectations. If you don't know what is, if you're a minor, if you're a young person, you're not married, that's good, you shouldn't. If you're an adult, and if you're married especially, and you don't know what that is, sorry. Sorry. We'll have a little class afterwards. Ask Mike Jones. He'll be able to tell you. Anyway. That's awesome. He's not even in here. Okay. So you have to clearly communicate your expectations. How many of you ever had a job where you got reprimanded or something for not meeting expectations that were never communicated to you in the first place? Yeah, I think we all have, right? It's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating. Well, see, it's no different for our relationships. These expectations need to be clearly communicated. And that means more than just saying, well, you know what, hon, I expect blank. You know what it means? It means going a step further and saying, I expect blank, and here's what that looks like. Here's how you could do that. Taking it a step further. Be specific. And I know this is so much easier said than done. It's not always easy to do because doing so really requires a pretty honest conversation, along with a willingness to discuss and share your innermost feelings and hopes. And here's the thing. When it comes to the marriage relationship, listen. If you're not married yet, listen to me. When it comes to the marriage relationship, the best time to do this is before you get married. Before you get married. See, that's why we here at the Orchard are big believers in premarital counseling. Okay, because that is the best time to clarify and discuss expectations. Because listen, once those vows are made, that's it. It's for life. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It is for life. Listen, I'm serious about this. There are very few biblical reasons for anyone to ever walk away from that marriage relationship. There are very few reasons biblically to walk away from your spouse. Very few. There are some, but they're very few. And so the best time to have those conversations and to communicate those expectations is before you get married, not after. Same thing when it comes to hiring new employees. I mean, you talk about relationships at work. Listen, the best time to discuss expectations is before you hire someone, not after. See, that's why I think, you know, the mantra of hire slow, fire fast, I think that's great wisdom. Hire slow, fire fast. Very wise. I didn't say fire often. I said fire fast. Big difference. But my point is this. The best time to work out expectations is before you hire someone or before you go to work for someone. Talk about the expectations. And ultimately, here's the thing. The goal ultimately is to just be able to get on the same page, to make sure that you understand each other's expectations and that you agree with what those expectations are. And so for some of you, especially if you're married, one of the best things you could do, especially if you've been married for a long time, one of the best things you could do is something that most of you probably haven't done in a very, very long time. You need to have a date night. Some of you are smirking. You're like, where's he going? No, I'm talking about date night. You need to have a date night. You know what date night means? If you forgot what dating is, go Google it or something. Date night, not double date, because that was cool back in high school, but we're done with those days. No. Date night, okay? Go out on a date. Does that mean we have to talk? Yes! Don't go to a flick, to a movie. That's stupid. I mean, I know sometimes I want to, because I know I got to talk sometimes. I don't want to talk. But it's healthy. Was I? Go out on a date. Talk, clarify, reevaluate your expectations for one another so that you can get on the same page and come into agreement with what those expectations are going to be. It's not about dictating. It's about communicating, getting on the same page. So are these expectations that I have, are they realistic? Have I clearly communicated them? And here's a third one. Okay, ready? Have I empowered and encouraged? Have I empowered and encouraged? In other words, once those realistic expectations have been communicated, it is now your job to empower and encourage the other person in their pursuit of meeting those expectations. And I'll tell you, listen, this is so important because I think what tends to happen in a lot of relationships is just the opposite of that. And instead of empowering and encouraging, we get frustrated and impatient and upset and angry, and then we pull back, don't we? We start taking away. Well, if they're not going to do that, I'm not going to give them this. And we end up becoming conditional in the way that we love and respect the other person, which is the extreme opposite of what God has done for us. Think about it. God has expectations for every one of us in this room. And if you've ever stopped and really thought about what that at the core of that expectation, you know what it is? Perfection. Which means what? It means that we are all in big time trouble, right? Because none of us are perfect. None of us, all of us, every single one of us falls short. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. Say it with me, ready? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, every single one of us have fallen short. We have all failed to meet God's expectations. So what did he do? Did he write us off? Did he say, well, to hell with you, you wicked human beings? No. You know what he did? He loved us. He loved us anyway. And because of that love, he gave us the gift of grace, Jesus. Who does what? Who takes all of our imperfections and sins and issues and dysfunctions and pains and sorrows on himself, so that when God sees us, he doesn't see the sin-filled, fallen, imperfect people that we are, and instead he sees us as people who have been made right because of Jesus. And so because of that, guess what else God expects from us? The same thing. The same thing. Here's how the Apostle Paul said it. Ephesians chapter 5. Listen. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. You see that? His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Could that be said of you in your relationships right now? It says he didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Now you love like that. Love like that. Friends, that is what's called unconditional love. And what that means for you and what it means for me is a different kind of love than what comes naturally. See, unconditional love is not a love that says, well, I will love you as long as you blank. It's not a love that says, well, I love you because you did this, because you kept up your end of the bargain, or because you developed the habits that I feel like you need to develop, then I'll love you. No, listen. This is a much higher love. It's a love that says, I love you even though you hurt me. I love you even though you have not met my expectations like I think you should. I love you even though there are a million things that I wish you did differently. See, this is not a because of type of love. It is an even though kind of love. That is unconditional love. Loving with no agenda, no condition. And God expects every one of us as his children to love others with the same kind of love. It's so convicting, isn't it? Convicting for me. Convicting for every one of us in this room. It's convicting. But see, this love, this is a forever love. This is an unconditional. This is a love that says, I'm going to accept you no matter what you've done. Now, are there boundaries to that? Absolutely. There's biblical reasons. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I mean, this is unconditional love. Listen how Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You've heard, this is the love chapter. Listen to this description. He's talking about God's love, unconditional love, the kind of love that we're to have for one another. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. This is the kind of love that feeds courage in our relationships. It's the kind of love that causes the other person to feel empowered instead of discouraged and alone and hopeless. So ask yourself today, am I following in the way of Jesus by empowering and encouraging the people I'm in relationship with? Am I loving and am I giving of myself unconditionally? Or are there conditions? Do I take it away? Do I pull back? Do I punish the other person for not meeting my expectations? Listen to me. Listen. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't motivate, it does not inspire, and it doesn't empower. It doesn't work. Ladies, how are you empowering and inspiring your husbands? Husbands, how about you? Leaders, how are you empowering and encouraging your team? Parents, how about your kids, your friends? Well, here's a real powerful way to do that. It's the last question I want to give you tonight. And this has to do with how you are doing meeting the other person's expectations. Okay? And it's this right here. Listen. Have I exceeded their expectations? Have I exceeded their expectations? Say it with me. Ready? Have I exceeded their expectations? And see, here's why this is so powerful. Listen, when you and I focus on exceeding, when we turn our focus onto exceeding the expectations of the people that we're in relationship with, not only does it motivate and empower and encourage them, but it also, and even I think more powerfully, gives them a glimpse of God, who is constantly and who is in such a beautiful way exceeding our expectations. Because see, that's the nature of God. Paul wrote about that in another place, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Listen, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently within us. See, this is huge for some of you, especially for those of you who you've recently taken some giant steps forward in your spiritual journey, and you're excited about it, and you're thankful for what God is doing, but yet there's a part of you that is sad because you don't see the same thing happening in your spouse's life. And so you hear this, and you feel a little bit discouraged because you wish more than anything that they were experiencing the same thing you are, or at least heading the same direction as you are. Well, you know, the Bible talks about this exact topic. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter basically says, okay, do you have an unbelieving spouse? Do you have a spouse who is on a totally different wavelength than you are spiritually? He says, here's what you do. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:1. If you are a wife, you must put your husband first. Even if he opposes our message, you will win him over by what you do. You see that? Even if he opposes our message, you will win him over by what you say? No. What you nag at him about? No. By what you do. And listen, this works both ways. Husbands, you have an unbelieving wife? Same thing. You will win them over by what you do. Which seems awfully familiar with the scripture we just read, Ephesians 3. God can do more than you could ever imagine. He does it not by pushing us around, not by blabbing our lips all the time, preaching at someone else. No, listen. He does it by his Spirit deeply and gently working within us. Deeply and gently, not frustrated and harshly, deeply and gently. I'm going to tell you something. That's why there is nothing more powerful than your spouse seeing God at work in your life. You want to win your spouse over? Learn to love them better because of your relationship with Jesus. Listen, you want your heathen husband to come to know Jesus? Maybe he already knows Jesus and he's still heathen. Listen, show him Jesus. And I don't mean literally with a frying pan over his head. Just want to clarify that. But show him the love of Jesus. Same thing, husbands, listen. You want your wife to find God? Then treat her like the daughter of God that she is. Can you imagine what might happen if you made it your goal to exceed the other person's expectations? Can you imagine? And I know that there are some of you, and you have been trying and trying and trying. You've been trying hard for so long. And you're getting tired, you're getting worn out, you're feeling discouraged, and you are ready right now to throw in the towel. Can I encourage you to hang in there? And I don't mean hang in there if there's danger, if there's abuse or something like that. If that's the case, get out, run as fast as you can. But otherwise, hang in there. Because there's hope for you as well. And it's this, Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And as you keep reading in verse 9, it says, and let us, listen, receive this in Jesus' name. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There are some of you, you came here tonight, and that word right there is the reason you're here. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be the husband. Be the wife. Be the friend, the boss, the employee, the son, the daughter, the parent that God has called you to be. And watch as he takes that relationship a little deeper. And over time, further and further and further beneath the surface. Let's pray tonight. I just know that God is dealing with so many of us on so many different levels right now. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you're a seeker, if you're not sure where you're at spiritually and you're not quite sure about Jesus and all that, here's what you need to know, okay? What the Holy Spirit does is he takes the words of one person and he spreads them out in a room like this and he delivers them in a unique way so that everybody walks away with something that's personalized for them. That's just what God does. And I know that there are some of us tonight, and we're walking away. We are walking away feeling so convicted in our hearts right now that the first thing we need to do when we get home is we need to sit down with our wife or our husband, and we need to open our hearts to them, and we need to apologize to them. We need to ask for forgiveness because we have laid expectations on them that we should not have laid on them. And we have been pushing. We have been making them feel guilty. The best thing you could do tonight is go home and clear that up. And God will bring a freedom into your marriage that you've never experienced before. There are some of you, and it's in your workplace, and the best thing you could do is sit down tonight, not wait till Monday, but sit down tonight and say, you know what, I am going to clarify expectations because I have people who are working for me that don't have any idea what they're supposed to be doing. Whatever God is speaking to your heart to do tonight, would you ask him for the courage to take that step and obey him? Maybe for some of you, tonight you've caught a glimpse of God's love. You listened to what we were talking about with this love thing, this unconditional love. And you've sat there and you said to yourself, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me how a God could love me like that. But there's something in you that is so drawn to that. So maybe tonight, your next step is saying, God, I'm gonna open my heart to that love. Maybe for some of you, you're so new to this thing that for you, it's making a decision. I'm just going to come back again next weekend because you have no idea how big of a deal it is that I'm here tonight. Here's my prayer. God, give us the courage. Give us the faith. Give us the guts to obey you. And we open our hearts to you tonight, and we ask that you would make us into the people you've created us to be. And God, I pray that we would really get your heart behind these expectations. And that we would understand first and foremost, God, there's nothing really we can do to change the other person. And so the best thing we could do is turn our focus on ourselves. And to make sure that we're asking and we're expecting things that are realistic, and that we've communicated those things clearly to one another. God, show us how to empower and how to encourage. You've shown us that already. Remind us, God. And help us, God, to exceed those expectations, which you have done for us over and over again. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We receive that tonight. And we thank you for it. In your Son's name, amen.